Am I cutting you off? Like, when you can you speak over me while I am speaking? This has been occasionally the problem.
Yeah,
is that no? That's it's what we want. But I want to I want you to be able to cut me off is because when I start talking, I can't hear you, and I hate that. And then I always feel like I'm dominating the conversation.
Don't worry about it. When your lips stop moving, I'll talk.
Mate, that's the problem. They never do.
Ah.
Yeah. It's an issue. I've consulted doctors, but I can't be bothered listening to what they have to say about it. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host, Ian, and it is just us this evening and all on our onesies. We are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. We are not actually wearing onesies. But it wasn't the fact that we couldn't secure a guest. I am searching for special guests and talking to different breweries. It was exciting to talk to a couple of them, and I've been reaching out, and we do have a few kind of on the docket, and there's some more coming up in weeks in the future. But when I started to think about talking to them on a weekly basis, like every single week, I thought, I feel exhausted worrying about professionalism and being on my best behavior. I don't know how you felt about it. I felt a little, better not talk about rainbow bright side plots and focus on good. I mean, we learned all sorts of things about water tables and the mash levels. And I mean, it's
last week, what a mind of information and all of it relevant and all of it wonderful to listen to it. And I was exhausted at the end of it because my mind could take so much science.
It was like school.
It was so informative. It was like being, like sitting
there. A really good school.
Front row, yeah. Learning stuff. I was learning. I was learning things. I thought, is there going to be a test on any of this? I couldn't take it all in. And the more I drank, I thought, if there's going to be a little test at the end, I'm going to fail miserably. So thanks, none of that this evening. It's just you and me talking crap.
I've decided that in order to it's the same as the resetting of the palate as trying to have a glass of water or, in Steve's advice, a Heineken in between the beers to cleanse the palate. We're cleansing our intellectual palate tonight by just the two of us sitting around and talking about rainbow bright plots and drinking the strongest crap. Actually, this is the second strongest crap that we've got, because do you remember Ian nabbed us a Two Crows triple IPA, I believe?
I think it's a quad.
Right, it's the quad. Well, I went to my rinky-dink little liquor store, sort of tell you, in the middle of nowhere where my daughter does paddling. Yeah. And I went into the back room. it literally is the liquor store that time forgot. They have the most astounding thing. They have a six-pack of Good Robot 10,000-pound Pilsner. In a six-pack, like they're snapped together. And I thought, who does that? So what I found there, I found the last of the Leviathan Propeller Triple IPA, ranking in at 10%.
Ah.
So that's like fax night. I think we need to have Keir for some of that, but I don't know where we're going to find others of that. But instead, I have been sitting on a couple of strong ales. In fact, we've got another strong ale in there, but these are two of the strong ales. They might not exactly match up, but I didn't care. They both said 8.0. So the only things that match tonight are the 8.0s, and it is from Smokehouse Nano Brewery, which is my new, I have a new infatuation with Smokehouse because we went in and I sampled some very delicious things. This is a bit of a runoff because if you look at the can, it's just got a label on it, but the Smokehouse has a wee heavy Scotch ale, and we're comparing that to this one from Lund's Mill, which is literally just called Le Domaine Saison. Sounds very much like a wine, more like a wine than a beer, and it just is Bière Forte, which is French for Fort Beaver, and it is an 8.2%. So just kind of getting into the eights, and I guess some other week we'll get into the tens. That'll be a good time.
Yeah.
Now, the can art is not exciting this week. I will admit to that. Now, that's not to say Lund's Mill, they often do some really, really nice can art. Smokehouse, much like Tatamagush, Propeller, Breton, and there's another one I'm thinking of. Smokehouse is a little bit on the minimalistic side. So they've got the can top, the can bottom. Kelsey is joining us in the chat, and she's reminding me of the song Peaches, which I did look up from, not the President of the United States song, which, this is what bothers me. There is a new popular song from the Super Mario movie. You probably heard that there's a Mario movie. It's all, you know, CGI animation in the theaters. Okay, so there's this character called Mario, and he's a plumber, and he's in a video game.
There is a character called Mario, but Peach is your I'm worrying.
Peach is Princess Toadstool from the original. Her name has kind of morphed over, and her nickname has become Peach. Anyway, so in the new Super Mario movie, Bowser, the evil bad guy of the Mario franchise, is voiced by one Jack Black. Jack Black, then he sits down at a piano and he plays this song because he's in love with Peach, and he plays this song to her. And it's just this really kind of slightly drunken, rambling ballad to Peach. And it's just him saying Peach and Peaches over and over again and just kind of singing to her. It's quite amusing. It's very hilarious. But the only problem is now everyone thinks the song Peaches is this song sung by Jack Black in the middle of a CGI movie about video game characters instead of the presidency of the United States of America. Iconic song. Millions of Peaches, Peaches for Me.
I think I'm probably going to learn the Jack Black one for a future open mic, aren't you? That's the kind of thing I think Ross Chapman would do.
If I were capable of learning music quickly, yes, I would probably do things like that.
Well, if all he says is Peaches all the way through the song, then at least the lyrics are down.
There's a few more songs. There's a song that I've been trying to learn, and it's called Parked Down by the Lake. And a country singer guy.
Either you sent that to me or I sent that to you. I think, right, and we laughed solidly for about 3 minutes. It was so, it's wonderfully generic. And yet at the same time, it's horrible.
It's catchy. It's
a really crap country song. But because it's obviously a parody and using all those awful lyrics that the country songs seem to come out with now, it was so funny. I sent it to my brother as well in Edinburgh, and he howled over it as well. And of course, we've referred to that on a number of occasions since. It's good.
That is my example. I'm having a hard time learning that song. Okay, like I'm listening to it over because it's just the lyrics are, it's one of those ones where, you know, when you learn lines to a play and they're just a little bit out of order, but it's the same thing over and over again. And you've got to learn it.
Lines to learn.
It's that kind of song. Anyway, getting back. The Gray, because Kelsey's just said Peaches in the chat, and we went on a very long tangent. This is what happens when you don't have professionals on the show. The grayness of the Smokehouse Nano Brewery. So these are just kind of one-offs, and they had a few. I think they had four that were going on. There's an ESB. It's in the same kind of can. But I like that even for their small batch, I mean, it's the Nano Brewery. For their small batch, if they aren't going to run it for a long time, they just say, put it in the regular neutral one, and we'll just stick a little label on it. And they did. So the Grandfather's Tartan Wee Heavy Scotch Ale ranking in at 8.0% on the strong beer scale. And I looked up, I had to go digging fairly deeply on the Smokehouse. God, this is bad. On the Smokehouse Facebook page, My Grandfather's Titan. This was back November 11th of 2022. So they came out with this one near on Remembrance Day. A fitting guide to honor fellow service people on Remembrance Day, our wee heavy My Grandfather's Tartan will be hitting the taps. Come in and enjoy this strong, smooth Scottish ale. It continues. The Smokehouse family is fortunate to be connected to a wonderfully talented family of musicians. The East River Rats of Pictou County have wrote this amazing song. We'd like to share it in honor of Remembrance Day. I haven't heard this one, sorry. My Grandfather's Tartan was inspired by the story of Scottish-Canadian soldiers fighting at Juno Beach on D-Day. The idea behind the song is that the soldiers think they aren't coming home. The guy in the story is telling what to do with his body if he is to die. He's at peace with the thought of dying because it's for a just cause. He's with his fellow soldiers, and he believes they will be dancing and singing come the morning, whether it be in victory or in heaven if they die. So big, brave Scottish battle anthem, battle ale, battle drink. But that was what I found out. Did you?
You're going to enjoy this one because obviously you being a Scot, this is right up your alley. And you talk about wee heavies, but you like Scotch ales. You're going to enjoy this, aren't you?
I think this is our third wee heavy Scotch ale. In fact, I love how they keep calling them the wee heavy, but we've had one from Hell Bay and one from Sea Level, and I believe I liked them both. I don't think it mentioned anything about being spicy, because sometimes a Scotch ale, it'll have like sort of an earthy, heather mixture kind of kind of flavor to it. And ooh, actually, as soon as it opens, that just
got ahead of me.
I know. I quickly cracked it. I haven't poured it yet, but I quickly smell. I don't want to say it smells strong. It smells a little strong, but it smells malty with a. And I'm trying to take things that I've learned from the classroom of church brewing, where I need to learn how to detect a yeast smell, because I think that's going to be the next thing that we should be getting out of this, is trying to determine.
Yeast last week. I've forgotten it all, but we did find out a lot about it on the night, that how important the yeast was. I think I was talking about, I just pitched the yeast and let it do its thing. If it doesn't work, I'll go and get another packet from the store and I'll pitch that as well. And it's apparently I can make so much. I can either damage the beer so it doesn't taste like it should do, or amazingly, you might make a completely different flavored beer because of that. You know,
well, how many did he say? He said they make it the exact same way and put in four different types of yeast and then serve four different types of beer, and everyone says these are so different.
Yeah,
that was one of the surprising things that we learned.
I'm getting malt too.
This is some jet black. Here's what I'm excited by, because a Scotch ale, a wee heavy, is often a little more amber than this. This is dark and dim. Or maybe I'm just looking at it in the wrong light. It's. I don't want to say that it's as thick as, say, a stout, but there's a. I'm getting a red hue through it, but it is. I guess this is what I would expect from a strong ale. You get kind of a reddish
brown is what I'm getting, Ross. It looks like a brown ale to me. And I'm already know that I'm going to like this. This is going to taste like a Scotch ale.
I should hope so. Again, this is me. You know, we went to school last week, this week. It's recess. You know, we deserve a break. This is the weekend in between us going to school. We luckily still get to drink whether in school or out of school.
How many shillings does that rating go up to? You know, you can start at sort of 50 shillings, 60 shillings, 70. 90 shilling was the highest that I ever drank while I was in Scotland. And of course, it does go on the strength and also how much it cost as a result back in olden days when they used to charge by the strength of the beer. I don't know, because there's that yawn again. Oh,
I'm sleepy. I'm sorry. It's just a thing.
God, your days are so full of mine. Just don't do much with mine. If there is 100 shilling, this might be it. This is going to be 8%. This is a strong beer. And I bet it's going to... I don't want to say I bet it's going to taste wonderful, because what do I know? But it smells like it's going to taste really good. I hope it doesn't let me down.
Scotch Ale or Wee Heavy starts at 90 shilling and usually measures at least 6.5 ABV with an original gravity of this. And that's what percentage is 90 shilling. So 90 shilling is actually kind of low. Not low. It's not that 6.5 is low, and you always give me a hard time on this one. But I'm trying to see if there's some sort of. I mean, there's plenty of bottles. People have made 90 shilling brands, so you get here's the original 90 shilling. So now I will check for 90 shilling, 100 shilling. Let's see if I can. Nope. What is blah? What does 80 shilling mean? 90 seems to be
max.
The top. It doesn't.
Yeah. So basically, once it gets to a certain strength, they call it 90 shilling. And whether it's 6.5% or 6%, or whether it's 10%, it still passes a 90 shilling. Maybe that was because they topped the price up at that. I don't know.
That seems to be the max they could go at the time. And if they're saying 6.5, they were not considering triple IPAs, Belgian quadruples. The only results I'm getting for 100 shilling is what is the Canadian dollar to 100 Tanzanian shillings.
Oh, that's where it came from.
Probably. Yeah, definitely from Tanzania. Anyway.
And your Scottish pint glass, too.
Yes, it does have the Scottish lion on one side, but it also says James Reddy 5.5 on the other side. This is an old-ass glass. I got this from drinking James Reddy beer way back in... want to say the early to mid, oh yeah, the mid 2000s, I think I was drinking that out of, Niagara Falls. It all comes full circle. Wow. Hard Rock Cafe, Niagara Falls. Cheers! For this one. I'm actually taking fewer gulps on this one because I'm a little concerned about the 8.0, but wow! That is so smooth, it's almost invisible. Did that disappear?
Smooth it most definitely is. What, that does. Oh. I was expecting it to be like a little bit, you know, when you have a whiskey or a barrel aged beer, you tend to get like a oof, because it's strong.
There's the smoke from the oak cask and everything, but how is this gonna? This is gonna sneak up on us in 15 minutes. And we are not going to know what hit us because this tastes like like a slightly malty blonde. It's light and it's very smooth. Again, I will sing many praises of what's going on at Smokehouse right now. I'm glad I finally went in. And now you went in as well. We went in at different times because we're absolute professionals and we never seem to be in the same place at the same time. What did you try? Did you try the ESB like I had suggested?
Yes, I did. That was it. That's what I tried. And in fact, she gave me a tiny little sample of. Oh God, what was it called? I forget what it was called. It was something else. But what I ended up getting was a growler of porter. I actually bought the porter. It was the ESB I thought was, oh, I can't say any of this because obviously we're going to try the ESB in future. Although it wasn't there in cans.
I tried the ESB. It is in cans. It's in these gray ones.
Oh.
Except okay. they were maybe potentially out, which is why I tried to get. I knew there was a wall of beer in there. It's wonderful, and I wanted to buy all of it, but I didn't, and I just bought the ones that I thought might not stick around all that much. So I got the limited edition ones, but I tried the ESB while I was there, and I loved it. And the other one they gave me was what do they call it? The Smoker IPA.
I think there were five IPAs in all. One was a New England IPA, and all the rest were just IPAs.
There was a bunch.
Yeah, there's like half of the brews were all IPAs and sours.
But they had me at Smoker. I said, I'll give that a whirl. Let's see what's going on here. And ooh, it was that was a tasty, tasty IPA. And it was one of those ones that it wasn't an overly holy cow IPA. It was just smooth, very easy to drink. But this is
extremely smooth.
Dangerous.
They have it right on the front of the can here on their thing, Nano Brewery. Now, at what point, of course, would they have to say, yeah, we're selling way more units, we're making far more of this stuff now? Would they have to change their whole logo? They'd have to like white out the Nano and just put Micro on all the
rest of them. I think if they build themselves up to that point, they could probably afford to whip out a few new labels, right?
Yeah.
Rebrand and whatnot.
Genius.
In fact, what I would do is keep the Smokehouse and then I'd just cross out Nano.
Yeah, do that too.
On all the new labels. Just actually make it part of the, we're not Nano anymore. Now we're big. Right in Sharpie above it. Bigger brewery.
Clearly, they've got this little sticker over the front of the where the wee heavy thing is. So I'm going to take that bit off. And if they're happy to put stickers over the can, there we go.
It's just blank. So these are their blank cans.
So maybe they could do exactly the same thing with the little bit that says Nano, put a little sticker over it.
Yeah.
And write Micro.
But you know why they probably did it this way? They may have been, because with a Nano brewer, they might have been making such small batches, they would have just been writing ESB on each. But then the batches got a little bit bigger and bigger, and they were making more and more cans. So then they printed out some stickers, and that was much faster to do. Now I'm going back on my own word and deciding that, yes, we do need to talk to all these breweries, because these are the questions that the breweries themselves could answer. If they were here. There you go. On the can, the custom can. A special blend is what it says. The custom can on the side.
This one has a date on the side of it, Ross. 13th January 23. That's when this was stuck in the can. So we know that's 3 months old. Would you believe it? So new.
Well, it's older than my son. Oh, yeah, I see. What?
It's older than your son. But when was the yeast pitched? Yours would have been pitched about 11 months ago.
Yeah.
And this would have pitched probably a little more recently.
You don't need to bring up me pitching my yeast. Thank you very much.
This is lovely, isn't it?
I cannot believe. I was expecting a stronger kind of a cool. You know that this is very strong. You need to kind of hold your breath, gird your loins for the big swallow of the very, very strong beer. Because like they say, a strong beer starts at about a 6.5. And they say, here you go, strong beer. And we have had like a 6.6 that tastes more like it has been soaked in, Tennessee whiskey. But this is just, it's got the flavor.
Yeah, it's dangerous, I think, because you could drink several of these. It's not even cloying. It's not sickly. No. It's not leaving you like I really like it, but I'm not having too many of these. This is actually so smooth that you're thinking, I'll have another one, another couple of these.
Yep. Then when you polish off the second one, all of a sudden you get up to stand and try to go to the bathroom and fall flat on your face.
It's the first time, it's funny you mentioned the Smokehouse ESB, and I mentioned to you there how much it reminded me of when the Old Speckled Hen first tried it in the early 90s, and it had that kind of flavor to it to me. It's like a very distinctive, unusual, malty, spicy kind of thing going on. It used to be 5.4 or 5.6 before the big boys bought it out, the Old Speckled Hen from Moorlands. The ESB, to me, was really reminiscent of that. And the thing was about that, when my old man and I sat at a pub and tried that for the first time, as I say, in the early 90s, we only had 2 pints of that at lunchtime. And rather like you said, we thought, this is nice, really distinctive. And then we got up and was like, holy crap. And it hit me really hard. This is significantly stronger than that, and this would probably have me falling over after 2 or 3 pints. Just while I wasn't driving around and doing this on your deck.
Well, yes, I did float that earlier. I think my first suggestion was, we should do the really strong beers this week, and then my second suggestion was, you should drive over here, and we'll be outside. The sun's already down, so I don't think this is the time for it. We'll do it May. So. May will be official deck warming and opening, and we'll...
And light beer for me. Lovely.
Get your order in now. I love this, and I'm trying to think of a reason not to score it very highly, and I'm wondering if the lack of correlation from strong tasting to strength of percentage could be a negative. I don't think it should be. I think it tastes... You drink this and say, ooh, this might be a little stronger than a lager. This is not a pale ale. This is... Well, it's thick as molasses, but you think, ooh, that's just a creamy porter. And I'm curious what we would think if we had never even seen the can. Someone just put, have a pint, and you clunk. There, beer. All right. Smells like beer. Nah, I would taste a strong beer. There is that that sweetened...
Sweet.
That sweetened...
Sweet, malty, and very smooth. It's rich. It's quite rich. It's not heavy, but it's there is a sweetness to it which suggests... I mean, I'm not talking a fruit sweetness here. I'm talking a... It's so difficult to explain what that... How what I mean by that. It's
like the,
just reminiscent of pretty strong ales.
Yeah, like so whiskey-soaked wood casks. But they're not all aged in casks, so I don't know if it's the flavor of the whiskey or the flavor of the being in like a wood cask. But the taste is synonymous with me with a wooden cask. I'm
really good. It's so Scottish ale. It's such a classic to me, heavy Scottish ale. It's really tasty.
Do you know what this tastes like? Cheering up on a dreary, overcast Wednesday,
which you probably get a lot of in Scotland. Like,
you sure do
every year.
Oh, did I not tell you that? My story. I've probably told you 1,000 times. I went over for my grandfather's birthday. This was again in the mid 2000s, and I was over with my dad at day one, and you're sort of there, and you're like, ugh, and you go to town, and you're sort of, yeah, the town's nice, the cobblestones, yeah, okay, the stone is nice, it's quite, why is it all, it's just kind of drizzle and rainy, and I'm kind of a little bit cold, it's not very nice out, it's September, why shouldn't it be nice out, and it already felt like really late December kind of thing, and then we got back.
In Scotland, and you went, oh yeah, that's why.
And I thought, well, okay, par for the course. I said, why does anybody enjoy it here? What is going on? And we got back to my uncle's house for lunch early afternoon. It was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, oh yeah, have a sandwich. We made some sandwich, put out some crackers and this and that. And he said, oh, would you like a glass of wine? And I went, it's 1 in the afternoon. Why are we drinking a glass? Well, you know, when in Rome, fine, I'll have a glass of wine. And I think by the second glass of wine, that's when I figured it out. That if you serve wine at brunch, lunch, afternoon tea, and dinner, you'd stop caring about the weather.
You'll feel warmer.
Yep. Oh, I was. I felt like I was on holiday. I felt like I was at the beach. It remained dreary and damp, but ooh, days
was
got much nicer.
Air-shire?
Hmm?
Was that Ayrshire?
It was Ayrshire. Near as makes no difference. Air or Ayrshire.
Yeah, Ayr is county town of Ayrshire. On the west coast.
Yes, if you go a little bit up the road, you get to Troon. And in fact, Ayr has one of the West Coast's most famous beaches because it is so beautifully sandy. It's a very nice, kind of whitish sands beach, but do not go in the water, whatever you do. Regardless, that's what this tastes like. This tastes like, this weather isn't so bad. Nom, 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 nom.
I think it's fabulous.
It really is.
I'm making the... I don't know why I chose popcorn. Why on earth am I eating popcorn with beer this evening? Because I know all it's going to doing is be sitting here stuck in my teeth and on my gums, and I'll be picking it out, and I'm on video, and it's like, this is probably not the smartest idea.
But here's the best part about that. Only yourself watches the video after the fact. You can watch the video and be here live on Facebook Tuesdays at 8 p.m. and join us doing that. But the archive then goes over to the podcast, which is audio only, which is why the description is more important than whatever we're talking about.
That's very true.
Any of the... in fact, I didn't even put the stupid brewery behind me this time. I'm so completely slack.
Wow.
Look,
are you wearing a? I have to say, please, Ross, you seem to be wearing a sports sweater. Is this a first for you?
No.
Oh.
But I picked this up. Speaking of Value Villages, I picked this up at a Value Village down in the city, actually in Dartmouth, for something like $15. And I was in the market for a new, a nice hoodie, and it's warm, and it's got these interesting, see these kind of grayish lines? It's sort of, it's flannely, but then they've got these nifty little pads that make it sort of extra flannely in places, and it's really quite comfortable. And it's got my most ironic team affiliation
I have.
I am, one, a baseball kid. I was never a hockey kid, so I am a Blue Jays kid because that was the team that was on the television.
Okay.
And the thing about that was I started watching in the mid-80s when they were terrible. And I watched... I was a little kid watching a full-length 3.5-hour baseball game on a Sunday afternoon. I was 11 years old watching the Jays lose continuously. Couldn't, more baseball. Love it, love it, love it. And they were my team because that's who I watched. And then they went on and they won World Series. And it was such a great experience to watch them get up there. They had several strikes, player strikes since then. And I kind of lost my taste for or an interest in professional baseball for a long time. Mm. And then also when I was younger, I was a Blue Jays kid. I had a Blue Jays hat. I had some Blue Jays stuff. I'd bring my baseball glove to school every day. But then the other kids at school, because it was South Shore, it was Nova Scotia, it was Canada. They all say, "Oh, who's your team? You like the Canadians? Do you like the Canadians?" So there's this one group of kids who I didn't socialize with because I didn't like them, and they liked the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens, best team. I'll beat you up if you say otherwise. And then over on the other side of the school ground was the Boston Bruins kids. Who's your team? Who's your team? You like Boston Bruins? Or you better like the Boston Bruins or we're going to pound you. And so there were two competing groups of people who hated me, and I hated them. And they either liked the Canadians or the Bruins. And what I learned over all of this was, well, who do you hate? Oh, we don't like the Leafs. And well, who do you hate? And they both tended to hate the Leafs. So I went, fine, they're my team. Leave me alone.
They're my team. I get that. Yeah. So you just want to be different again. It's like the music again. You're like, I don't want to listen to the stuff that everyone else listens to. Yeah. I want to listen to the weird that no one wants to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care what's popular, honestly. And then I come down to, all right, who's number one right now? Don't even answer the question. I don't like them. It's that kind of mentality. And I've done that before. And it led to my very late blooming appreciation for Ace of Base. They were huge. You know, I saw the sign and... All the big hits. They were, ABBA 2.0, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not quite the chops, but it was the same kind of style.
They were both Swedish, too. They were also Swedish.
Really? Two girls, two boys, if I'm not mistaken, or two girls and a boy in Ace of Base. But they, boom, hit the charts, bam, exploded, kaboom, so crazy popular. And I went, ugh, everyone loves this, and that annoys me for some reason, because I'm young and a total hipster, and people's opinions cause me consternation. So I just sulked for two straight years. And then when the hype had sort of swayed, and then all of a sudden I was... she leads a lonely life. This is really good. And I started to really like Ace of Base long after. So there's two ways that you can avoid pop music or the popular latching onto music is either be too early for it or way too late for it.
I'm just sat here nodding that whole time because I'm totally with you. I hate it when bands that I like or musical acts that I really like all of a sudden make it big and everyone's like, I mean, it only happened last year where all of a sudden, was it last year or 2 years ago, where Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush became this huge big thing. Right, and I'm hearing it all over the radio again. And all kids are saying, this is marvelous because of the TV show, whatever it's called. And that, of course, she is my number one musical heroine of all time. I adore her. I'm like, no one. I don't want you to like Kate. I didn't even want you to know about Kate.
Yeah, Bush. There's nothing worse than someone coming up to you and saying, "Hey, have you ever heard of Kate Bush?" And you're saying 20 years a fan, 30 years a fan, saying, "Yes, I've heard of Kate Bush." You little 40
years
crap.
Of That's right. And like, she's like 3 years old or something. She's not new. That song came out almost 40 years ago. Anyway, whatever.
Good. We're both irrationally grumpy about this kind of thing.
I'm annoyed at this point. I'm like, why did she agree to that?
I sometimes feel slightly the same way about reviewing, because we've been drinking a lot of craft beers for a long time, and every now and then someone will say, I tried this really tasty craft beer, and I'm sitting there going, I drank that a year and a half ago and told you it was awesome. What's wrong with you? Come on. Why are you not paying attention to my opinions every single time I have one, and then giving me some sort of magical credit that I think I deserve?
Absolutely. You're wearing your sports ball. Hat at the Leafs. But Dave Upham here was drinking grandfather's tartan, and he said, very nice, will make cheering fruitlessly for the Canucks that much more palatable. Now, I know that has nothing to do with the taste of it, like you said before. That's not a review. But I just found that nice to read, the fact that there was a hockey parallel there we were drawing.
Can I tell you, speaking of my complicated personality and all the stupid things that I'm noticing about myself, here's the other side of my complicated personality. I have the Maple Leafs jersey on over top of the t-shirt of the comic book store in St. John, New Brunswick, called Heroes Beacon, where I go and play my board games.
You went there?
Get a little bit of both. However, I will say, and I only learned this very recently, I'm saving a bit of mine as well, that the Toronto Maple Leafs have made the playoffs this year. I think they start their game against Tampa tonight, or was it last night? I don't know. I'm not following. But Toronto made it. Montreal did not. And Pittsburgh didn't. So the Penguins didn't make it, and the Canadiens didn't make it. I know that's kind of falling. It might be falling on even more deaf ears than my own to you, but
I can't believe you actually know any of this. I'm waking up to all kinds of weirdness.
I turn on the radio sometimes, and in between weather forecasts, they occasionally tell me sports.
You know what I have in place of the water, which I've been doing the last year and a half with you, to cleanse my palate? I've got a Canadian free male from Pump House. Obviously, Steve said, "Don't cleanse your palate with water." So just to cleanse the palate.
It does make sense. This being the week that we're doing two beers of 8%, you should definitely up the alcohol percentage of your water consumption in between by at least 4 to 5%.
Well, I know. I am five. That's exactly solid. Is the Pump House
solid plan?
Yeah. So, because it's a cream ale, it's smooth as well. So I'm just.
It's from New Brunswick. I don't care. You're not allowed to even tell me how it tastes. Not a word out of you. It's not that I don't care about New Brunswick as a province, which I also don't. It's just that, yeah, we're trying to focus on the old Nova Scotia beers going on here. Are you ready?
I'm a palate with a Nova Scotia craft ale, by the way. I'm not doing that.
Why not? You could. I would have the Toller. You know what? Maybe I should get some Toller Light, but I'm currently out of Toller Gold, and the only thing that I have in between is a Propeller Porter, and I don't think that'll cleanse my palate. It might. They're all pretty vanilla. However, our next one that we have here, this is interesting one. Lund's Mill out of Lawrencetown, I think. All the way up the way. Lund's Mill. And they have Le Domaine Saison, all very French. So the season of domaine, I don't know, the season place. Fort at 8.2%. And it just says it is a strong beer. It says Domaine Saison. It doesn't say anything. So that last one was a Scotch ale. I don't think this one is a Scotch ale. But this one is instead, and I did find it. Yeah, here we are. Le Domaine, style, farmhouse ale, brewed from our anguish and despair after the kidnapping of our web domain. So there's got to be a story there somewhere, because I think their current one is lundsmill.beer, so they might have lost lundsmill.ca. The fruity, spicy, and slightly floral aroma will help you weather any storm. To those who listened, we appreciate and thank you. You are always welcome in our domain. Floral and spicy.
This might be a bit like Steve was alluding to the last week. This might be a little like a Belgian monastery ale, like a lambic again. If that description that you're reading there is anything to go by, and it's 8.2%, so it's in the right domain regarding the strength.
Well done.
Let's be honest. It's French. The language is in French. This might be a little Belgian number we're about to try here. In which case, bring it on. Yeah.
Would you like a little Belgian in? Yeah.
Better why?
That came out terribly wrong.
A menace. was the word I was looking for there, which we, he taught me last week. Yeah. Yeah.
That's smelling not much of anything to me. I don't want to say weak, but just certainly subtle.
It doesn't smell like the wee heavy does, for sure.
No. It doesn't have that maltiness, and it's pouring out much lighter. Oh, yes, this is one of these golden, one of those more golden ales here. Okay, a little bit of a floral aroma now that the head is out in the glass, sure. Spice, still not quite so much.
Banana?
It mostly just, it smells like a lager. It just smells like a pretty basic lager. So I'm waiting for the flavor. It's got to be in there. At an 8.2%, some kind of science has happened that will turn this into an interesting beverage.
Getting banana, Ross. Is getting up, shooting up my hooter. Banana is shooting up my hooter. Am I saying that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's the phrase. That's the right one. That was definitely on the Canadian citizenship test. It doesn't have a lot of personality, I guess, is I think what I'm, it's just a smell. It's just a smell. This is hopefully, I am looking forward to this, giving me quite a bit more in the flavor section. Here's me trying to get a little bit more of the frothy overtwinings.
It smells a bit fruity to me, weirdly. But yes, floral.
I'm only getting kind of a floral thing out of it.
Yeah, a bit of banana. Anyway.
It's not unwelcome, the smell. I just not, certainly not what I was expecting from an 8.2 Saison. That's just very, very golden, flaxen in color. Not pale, but deep. It's like a honey. It's like a tall glass of honey. How is the foam on the top there? Are you all set?
I'm more than ready to drink this.
Cheers, Isis.
Yours is clear. Mine's cloudy. Did you pour the whole can, my friend?
I did not. It didn't all fit because my pour is still got a lot of stuff in it. Did you get you okay. fit the whole thing?
I did. There's definitely then going to be a little some sea monkeys hanging around in the bottom of your can.
Yeah, probably. That's possible.
A little bit of cloud and yeast going on down the bottom there. That's good though. I always like a bit of that. Cheers.
Same. Cheers. That's
again
that spicy cloves thing.
Yes, it totally is. But does it taste like 8.2% to you? No. No, it does not. Nowhere near it. That again, that's dangerous then, because it does not taste as strong as it is. Does that make sense?
But it's not as dangerous because it's not as smooth.
No, it's a little more hoppy. Than the malt based wee heavy is for sure. But it's not. It's nowhere near 8.2. Normally, when we're drinking, IPAs that are 8.2.
Oh,
They're strong and hoppy and acidic, and they're probably doubles or triples by that.
You feel it right away.
Yeah,
these, right away. I think I'm still getting the slow roll of the wee heavy. So this is just going to slowly roll over me even more so, isn't it?
It tastes, there is definitely some hoppiness to it, but it tastes to me like one of those... like one of those more palatable, less intrusive, and less gastric in tasting IPAs to me. It's a little bit like that one we've mentioned a number of times, the IPA, where it was easier to drink. It was less hoppy and a little fruitier and a little easier on my palate.
Okay, I need to get all of the sea monkeys in here because I think you're getting something different than I am. The clear stuff at the top
Cloves and bananas is what I'm getting, and cloves and bananas, I've thought we've talked about before.
I have solved the clarity problem.
Uh-huh.
It is no longer clarity. All I was getting was bitterness and cloves, so I'm hoping that I get more now that I filled it all. And I love the fact that unfiltered beer we are now referring to as making sure all the sea monkeys are in your beer.
All the sea monkeys are in the bottom of the glass. Get them out of the can and get them in the bottom of the glass.
Was there a theme song for sea monkeys? There were TV commercials. But was there like a sea monkeys, watch them swim and swim? No, because that's Soft Kitty from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, I was going to say, that almost sounds a bit like fish heads, roly-poly fish heads.
Yeah, oh, it's very similar too. Fish heads, drink them up, yum. That one?
Yeah, that one.
Eat them something? Well, we know some weird songs.
That was kind of 1993/94-ish. I was in Goose Bay.
Was it?
Came out. It was. When, funnily enough, that was the exact year, when you mentioned earlier on where the... Going back to baseball here, can you believe this? This is a sports podcast all of a sudden.
We talk a lot of sports here. Always talking about our sports. Calling audibles.
Not a pair of jocks. That's something you wear. But we're two jocks. You made a reference to when the Super Bowl. No, what's the baseball equivalent of the Super Bowl? The World Series, won by the Leafs. No, not the Leafs. The other ones. I'm good in sports.
I'm glad this is now a sports podcast.
What's the Toronto team called?
This is much better. The Tree Bears.
Blue Jays. Right. It was the same kind of era as Roly Poly Fitch Heads. This is stronger beer.
When I first heard that Roly Poly Fish Head song, I thought that someone had dredged it up from like the 1930s. It sounded like an old jingle from the heyday of television.
Yeah.
Was that an actual legit song that was released in 1993?
It was either 93 or 94. I think it might have been 93. Yeah, I think so. Because that's when I was hearing it, and that's when it was doing the rounds. I think MTV was playing it at the time. Not MTV, what's the Much Music? I think they were playing it at the time. I don't know.
It just didn't... I mean, I was listening to a bit of pop music, and I was listening to Ace of Friggin' Base in 1993, and so you tell me that on one side... You've got all that she wants is another baby. She's gone tomorrow, boy. And then, and coming up next is, you know, number three, right after Ace of Base is
Fish Heads, roly-poly
fish. And it was that Alvin and the Chipmunks kind of sped up RPM voice, wasn't it? It was that
Fish Heads, drink them up, yum.
Absolutely.
Wasn't it nailed down?
It was also the same kind of time as Wales' Hobo Humpin' Slowbo Babe was big as well. They were all that was big.
Nope.
In the
No. Nope. Now I know you're making things up. Stop. I draw the line. What? Wales.
Wales. It's from the same vintage, Ross. I would 30 years ago. I had it on CD. Whale were a band, and Hobo Humping Slowbo Babe was big here in Canada at the time.
I have never, ever heard that song. And I know Popcorn by Hot Butter.
Oh, well, that's 77 or something.
Yeah, oh, that's disco music. See, you could get me, if you said Hobo Humping Slowbo Rumping was a 70s disco hit, I would believe you. But 1993, things weren't that, I mean, I know this was, that was the beginnings, if not maybe the begin. Yeah, the slow rise upwards for Weird Al Yankovic. He was just coming out, but... No one else was that crazy. 1993 was everyone said, hey, you know what? The 80s were full of creativity. We're not having any of that crap anymore. Everyone, quick, grow your hair long and wear plaid, and we'll just mash the grunge pedal and just listening to Sonic. We'll turn every amp up to 12.
That era.
And everything just sounded like you were tossing... the vinyl from the 80s into tree mulchers, and whatever came out the other sound, the other side of that, you just kind of, you know, auto tune it over to an E flat, and you had an entire album from. Oh, I can't even think of anyone I want to make fun of. Pavement.
Listening to Ace of Base, man. That's exactly what I was listening to, was the grunge.
I was a grunge kid. I listened to Ace of Base because I found it catchy. But I was listening to, and I gave my daughter a hard time. She was wearing a Nirvana shirt the other day, and I almost had to strap her down and educate her. But I thankfully didn't. I did have Nirvana in the car. I could have skipped forward because I do have. I think the song that I have. Okay, speaking of songs that I'm trying to learn that not many people would learn, guess the Nirvana song I want to learn on the guitar.
Not Rape Me.
Nope.
What about Bleach?
Nope.
Oh, well, listen, man, there's a whole ton of them. Which album, which one are you referring, which album are you referring to?
In Utero.
All Apologies.
Nope. Jesse Potter does an excellent All Apologies.
Okay. it's
good. Heart-shaped box?
Yes, thank you.
Are you humming Heart-shaped box?
Yes.
That's not the one. No, I want to learn Radio Friendly Unit Shifter.
That's what I was singing. Yeah.
Hey, wait.
I got a real
new complaint. No, I want to learn Radio Friendly Unit Shifter.
Because?
Because it's right after whale bouncing, tubbing, thumping on the.
Although humping slow, babe.
Yeah, I will look that up. You got to send that to me. Radio Friendly Unit Shifter is just I don't know what it is. It's the pace of the song. The lyrics don't really get me, mostly because it's Kurt Cobain. You can't tell what he's saying half the time anyway. But it was just something a little bit, I don't know, something a little bit differently. Because I like to learn music that can be ignored. Because I want to sit in the corner and play music and have no one paying attention to me. Again, so many weird personality traits. We're just.
Does that come out of the fact that no one watches your podcast?
Yeah. I wouldn't have it any other way. I don't want anyone to listen to this. This is purely an excuse for me to drink as much beer as I like. That's all we're here for.
Open mics, you feel so up close, it feels so central. If I'm going to do something in public, I want to be sitting right in this kind of corner where everyone else is eating and drinking and talking among themselves, and I'm just kind of fucking in the corner with no amplifier, and I'm like, this is nice. And then people will look up occasionally and go, oh, there's a guy over there in the corner playing a guitar, and I'll be like, he's just noodling away. I'm like, oh, that's great. That would, to me, be my ultimate public performance.
We are strangely identical in so many ways, but yes, that is my ideal audience, is one that is just
that. You see, that's the weirdness, isn't it?
Half paying attention,
but I'm still in public, but no one's actually listening. That's perfect. Yeah. Then they can't be critical.
But this is why I also want to do, you know, the occasional kind of obscure, not obscure thing, but just something that you wouldn't really expect. If someone's playing music in the corner, you kind of know what sort of music it's going to be. So I want to be playing in the corner, and then every now and then someone, you know, in the middle of their, you know, biscotti and latte, sort of say, did that guy over there just play a Macy Gray song? And then the person they're sitting with said, well, yeah, but that wasn't that 10 minutes ago? Hasn't he played something? Wait a minute, what is going on? And that I love that it takes a minute to clue in what's actually happening kind of vibe. That's my favorite kind of feeling, where you sort of, and it's how I hold most of my conversations. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and they said something, and then 30 seconds later you say, what? And then they don't even have to say anything. While you're saying what, you're rewinding in your head to what they said and re-listening to it and then processing it, so that when someone talks to you and you say, what? Oh, 97. And you have an answer, but you have to say what first, because you have to re-listen in your memory to what they actually said.
Are you in the Matrix?
Okay, so we're now learning that 8.0 and up night is apparently my just confessional booth.
Yeah.
I'll just, I want to fix, I don't even want to fix, no, I just want to admit everything that's wrong with me and then just embrace it and continue doing everything wrong some more.
I think it's a really good thing that I didn't drive out and sit on your deck and have these two beers this evening, because I'd have been calling a taxi. This is strong beer.
It is. And it would also be pitch black right now. So we would be in the pitch black right now. There's no bugs out. So there's that. We have to do this before the bugs show up.
Pitch dark a couple of years ago, Ross. It started off dusky and it ended up dark.
Yep.
But it was warm. It was a warm June evening, I believe. And this we'll do that again this year. I'll reiterate. It's fruity to me. It's clovey. It's banana-y. It has a floral nose and taste. It tastes to me, like I said, like a rather easier to drink, not particularly hoppy IPA, strong IPA. One of those surprisingly drinkable double IPAs that we had last year, even on our IPA evening at your place with Keir and Ananda and Pat.
If you tell me this is a double IPA, I enjoy it more. But telling me that it's just a strong beer,
how do you qualify it then? What if you have to pigeonhole this? You can't just say it's a strong beer. So, I mean, you get strong beers right across the board, and in all of the in all of their guises.
But that's just it. I was going to call this a strong wheat beer because of that spice and that bready, not even a breadiness, but the spice and the bitter. This could be a really strong wheat beer, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything. It just says strong beer.
That's right.
It is reminiscent of a wheat beer, though, because of that clovey spice and that bitterness. It's reminiscent of an ESB to me, an extra special bitter, because I feel it's got more bitter than other bits.
Yes, I can see that. I can. Yeah, you're comparing it to a bit of an ESB. I can get that, like a more hoppy ESB.
Mm.
I think it doesn't bear comparison. Maybe it doesn't bear pigeonholing. I quite like it. I don't dislike it. It's just very difficult to sort of get a handle on what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to have. If I don't think strong beer is a category, and I was trying to put this in just, this is the ones we're doing this week, and I couldn't seem to fit them anywhere, but they just seem to be.
But they're chalk and cheese, Ross. They are apples and oranges, these two beers, are they not? They're both strong. But you can't compare them as like-for-like beers.
No, at all. This one is yeast and hops and bitter, and the other one is malt,
yes.
Malt and yeast.
They're a million miles apart. I prefer the darker. big surprise! We prefer the darker beer.
We absolutely do. I took a quick sniff. I haven't even taken a taste of my previous, and the smell of it smells like maple syrup now compared to drinking this bitter one. So this is, this is an extra, extra special bitter, a double ESB or something like, if that could exist, if we could do that. And I would say well done for the spice, the mild cloviness and the extra bitter. It's not ridiculous for the fact that they are both 8.0% and up. I mean, this Domaine Saison one is an 8.2. The flavor isn't 30% more, even though the alcohol percentage is. So I think what they've both done is taken a very nice flavorful range and just thumped up the alcohol percentage without sacrificing the flavor too much? I don't even know if that makes sense.
I don't think this is lacking in flavor. I think both of them are really...
Not lacking, but not going too far.
I thought quite the opposite with the grandfather's tartan, in the fact that it's so full of flavor, very, very flavorsome, to the point that I'm thinking, I'll drink plenty of these, and almost forgetting that it's bloody strong and it'll blow your head off. It's really very delicious, I find, the grandfather's tartan, but I would have to err on the side of caution. So oh, yeah. I would definitely say, yes, I'll have another pint, but wary of the fact that it is such a strong beer, and I may regret it in the morning. The domain. Oh, by the way, so as a result of that, I'm giving the Scotch Ale a solid 8.5%. 8.5%. Listen to me, it's right in my head.
It is
8.5/10. It's so. I really like it. It's delicious.
I'm not going to drink too many of
the domains. It's fine. It's like, to me, it's like a more palatable strong IPA. So therefore, thank you. It's wonderful. But eight out of 10.
For the Scotch Ale or the...
No, for the domain.
For the domain? I think, yeah, I'm knocking off 0.5 for me as well. I think the domain saison is an 8.5. But I'm still stuck on this concept of no matter which of these I drink, neither of them taste like, whoa, this is a whopping 8.1, 8.2. Woo!
Ross.
Neither, they are both dangerous, but this one at least has the bitter or the hoppy flavor saying, ooh, this is an IPA, better just have one. Whereas the malty smooth one, this is dangerous. I would order a second of that. If I was driving, I would stop after one, which would be good because I'd have to stop after one, then eat like a lasagna and drink several glasses of Pepsi, and then I could go.
Or Budweiser, whichever's lesser in alcohol content.
Tap water, if you care. Whatever's handy. Whatever's quite handy. We were talking about, who mentioned a lime, a lager? Right, my mother, as she oft does, they are, she's having a dinner where a lot of my family's back in town, and she's making a curry. Speaking of Ayr and Troon and the west coast of Scotland, we're having a curry night next week, and she has asked me, as she often does, to perhaps bring a couple of beers along, and I am going to try to see if I can find some Toller Lime, because that's a thing, and my mother has fond memories of lager and lime, like you've mentioned. And there's no way I'm bringing my mother a Bud Light Lime.
I kind of worried there that when you said it was going to be a curry night, that you were going to say, oh, I'll bring an India Pale Ale along with me. I thought that would be irony of ironies. Have you someone threw in there a drink from the past that I used to drink a lot of in curry houses in the UK? And I can't remember whether it was you or whether it was online or whatever. Kingfisher, right.
When I was in Scotland, my cousins took me to a curry house, and that was the beer that was on. That was on. If you wanted
delicious.
A beer,
yes.
Oh, it's the only thing that Toller Gold gives me memories of. Is the lager that was on tap at this curry house in Scotland.
Yeah.
Just golden, smooth. Just, honeyed. And just
delicious.
So tasty. So, and I would bring Toller Gold. And I think I have done so. And because they come in smaller cans, right? When you buy the case of 12. And my mother splits one of those with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, big fans of the show, those two, right there. Big beer drinkers, right?
I'm going to finish this one now, right now. I'm going back to the dark one because I almost want to cleanse my palate with this again, just to refresh.
I kind of do too. I want to finish. I will finish the Domaine Saison. I do appreciate it. So again, yeah, an 8.5 for this, but a 9 for the wee heavy.
Oh, it's good, isn't it? It's really good. Mm-hmm. All right, you go off and watch your ice hockey. And I'm out of here.
Bye-bye. Oh, that is on tonight. Maybe I will check and see what the score is doing, how the lads are doing. And the only reason I say how the lads are doing is because A, it's wee heavy Scotch ale night, and B, I don't know any of the friggin' names of the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. This smells so good. So, yes, next week, as the plan goes, my wife is demanding that we drink some sour ales, so pray for me now. And we'll be back doing that next week. 2 weeks from now, however, we will be back with the brewmaster of Old Biddies. We'll be talking to Keith from Old Biddies and having some Old Biddies brews there. So join us 8 p.m. Tuesday evenings on Facebook Live at the Drink NS Facebook page. Or you can find the podcast later. You can find some more details. Look up Drink Nova Scotia Dry or Drink NS on many of the podcast platforms and solutions. Or you can just go check out our website, drinkns.unsupervised.beer. I'm impressed that I got through all of that after 2 8.0 beers, and I did. But then again, wait, what's 2 8.0 beers as to compare to? We've been drinking 3 5.0s in the last few weeks. That's a 16 compared to... Yeah, this is stronger. My God, this is more alcohol. Well, that explains everything. I was thinking that I was feeling a bit weak, but I'm not. So thank you, especially Kelsey, for popping in the chat. Please, you can join us here live every week and check out the archives. But we'll be back next week. Enjoy your week, everyone. And try to buy and drink yourself some craft beer. Good night.